Welcome to the Dude Catholic Podcast. I'm your co-host Adrian here with a man who introduced a new element to the periodic table. That element is the element of surprise.
Nice. Our remote.
Yeah, you are. Didn't see that coming, huh?
That's pretty good.
Thank you. Today, we talk about dating and marriage. Welcome back, Ramon.
Thank you.
How you been?
Good. Busy, but good.
Me too. Let's not give an explanation as to why we've been gone for months and months and months. Actually, that's it. That is the explanation. We've been busy.
Busy, dude. Busy times.
Mm-hmm. So, this may be the last podcast. Or not. Or maybe we'll just... I don't know. I think people deserve better than what I've been doing.
Yeah, no, it's not the last podcast. It's just been busy. And I think we give you guys a heads up. Like, hey, it's going to get busy. We may not do it every week, every 2 weeks, or every month.
Yeah, we're the most inconsistent podcast. Here's the only thing about us is that we're still around. Even though we're not around, it's really bad. You know, but there's like over 200 episodes that people can go back and check out and be like, oh, these guys never got better, you know? So there is that, you know? Like, there's a long archive. We're still paying for it at no charge to you. So no refunds.
You get what you pay for.
You cheapskates. That's why we love you, both of you. Sup, Andy? Sup, Texas copywriter?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And there's another dude out there. There's another dude, and I'm blanking out on his name.
Yeah, and you too.
You too, bro. You too, bro. I know you're out there. I'll message you on Instagram. But yeah, so today we're going to talk about that. Now, there's been a lot of stuff happening. Politically, socially, social medially. So we're gonna have to do a whole series or an episode on the manosphere, even if it's like an hour episode that we have to break down into three chunks or whatever. Like, we need to talk about all of that. Today is not that day. Today we're going to talk about dating and marriage, because the more and more I look at people that are not married, the less hope I have for them. And that's kind of sad. You know, we live in a world where the dating scene changed. It changed drastically.
Yeah, a lot.
You know, like, back in the day, you could expect a woman to wait for marriage. You can expect a man to wait for marriage. And even if it was less common, the young people say, the body count was lower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when people slipped up and failed in that direction, there was not as much debate over who's the father of the baby. I remember even when I was looking at pictures of when our parents got married, Mom didn't wear a white dress. She wore an off-white dress. You could barely tell.
Yeah.
But when I was bold enough to ask, like, hey, what the dress is not white. What's up? I didn't know why people wore white, like why women wore white. And she said it, and I was like, oh, dang. Like, that's... People don't have the boldness, the courage, the humility to do that. They don't. You'll have a girl that was wilding wearing white.
Mm-hmm.
And you have men not knowing why you wear black.
Yep.
And when I mentioned that to people, they're like, oh, I didn't know that. Like, the guy just didn't know that he wasn't supposed to wear a Dumb and Dumber colored tuxedo, you know, to the wedding.
Sin is not stigmatized anymore. And I think that's what I don't want to say that's the root of the problem, but that's definitely the root of the problem.
Oh, yeah.
Sin is not stigmatized. And I don't know why this came to mind, but California, Measure 1 passed. And Measure 1 is... and it's not Measure 1, is it?
They called it Measure 1 when we were voting.
It's Measure 1? Okay, yeah. So it is.
But Prop 1, if
Prop
you may,
1,
that's
yeah.
what they were saying on the commercials.
Yeah. Prop that's, if you don't know... That gives the mother of the baby it gives her the quote unquote right to kill her baby even at 9 months. The baby could be ready to pop out. You can still kill the baby. And that's celebrated.
Oh, yeah, that's women's rights, right?
Yeah.
That is healthcare or whatever other euphemism people use to justify the killing of their own child. No, that's the thing. That's what they've been doing. They've been euphemizing everything. They've been saying one thing to mean something else. Like, at the end of the day, that's what's happening. You're killing your child. One of the safest places that's supposed to be, you know, supposed to be one of the safest places, the womb, has become not the safest place. And that's the thing, you know, and, like, it doesn't matter how much people learn about this stuff. Like, people are voting the wrong way. And, yes, there is a wrong way to vote. When you vote for evil, that's the wrong way to vote. And it's not me telling you how to vote or whatever. It's like, it's just pathetic that I have to argue with Catholics about this. You know, and it's people who should know better. But for some reason, they don't.
Yeah, I guess we as a society, we try to be accepting of others. You know, doing the Christ-like thing. But that's not what Christ was like.
Nope.
You know? And it's crazy that we get demonized by doing the exact same thing that Christ was doing, and then people call it, oh, you shouldn't be shoving your religion and your beliefs down people's throats. It's like, bro, that's what Christ was doing. He was going around saying, hey, dude, that's messed up. There's a better way, and you know it.
Yeah.
You know it, and especially back then, because back then they knew scripture more, but people were still slipping up. And that's when Christ would go, hey, dude, come on, man.
And here's the thing, you know, sometimes he didn't even have to do that. I'm remembering the story of Zacchaeus, right? The mm-hmm. tax collector, the short little guy.
Yeah.
He was like, he climbed a tree because he was too short. You know, again, and us short guys, we're resourceful. You know, we're going to find a way. And then Jesus turns around and is like, I know where you're at, dude. Like, I see you on top of that tree. And he's like, I'm going to come have dinner with you. He goes, has dinner with him. His mere presence made the guy, like, convicted the guy. And the guy was like, you know what? Whoever I cheated, I'm going to return the whatever I had cheated them four times. And I'm going to return what I stole from them, like, four times over. Just because he was there. You know, he didn't say, Zacchaeus, you've been cheating people out of money, therefore you shall return it four times fold. Like, no. Just truth being there has an effect on people. Today, when we present truth to people, it doesn't have that effect. Yeah, they feel convicted, but instead of saying, all right, that's messed up, I should know better, they attack. One of the responses I have to fear is anger. You know, it's a defense mechanism. I'm scared. I'm going to act mad. You know, and I think that's a very common thing in guys. You know, like, we respond with violence whenever we feel scared. Kind of like if you corner a dog, like, they feel scared, they're going to show their teeth and they're going to bite. You know, and so that's kind of what's been going on with people. And that's something that's very common human behavior. You know, you probably see it way more than I do. You know, I remember you talking about it when you were working at loss prevention. Mm-hmm. You know, like, people got all feisty when they had no reason to be feisty.
Yeah.
It's because of their guilt. And that's what I'm seeing a lot. Instead of saying, you know what, it is messed up, I need to change that, it doesn't go with my beliefs, they get mad. And they don't make sense. They don't offer you good reason for their beliefs. They just attack. Instead of changing, instead of saying, you know what, that's messed up, no, attack. That's it. That's your MO.
Yeah, our big egos are getting in the way, because ego's not a bad thing, but when it's misguided, it just turns into a selfish thing in our lives that just takes us on the wrong course. And it sucks, dude, because I don't want to say, it used to be better back then, you know, because I'm a millennial, dude. I was born in 86. I'm a millennial. And I think my generation overall, I don't want to say, I know a bunch of really solid millennials, but mm-hmm. but our generation as a whole is just kind of looking for the easy way out, and the easy way out is never going to lead you to where you need to go. I've said this before and I'm going to say it right now, you know, how are you supposed to get stronger if you have nothing to push against?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just got to put your nose to the grindstone and do what's right, even if it's not the easy thing to do.
Period. Point blank. So pray for it. I'm kidding.
No.
Yeah, no, so back to the topic, right? Because this has everything to do with the topic.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened? Equality. But I'm going to sound like a broken record because I think I've said this before. But let's add another little twist to it, right? Women want equality. This comes from a place of hurt, you know, but whenever you react to hurt, kind of goes back to that human nature thing where if you're afraid, you lash out. What ended up happening with a lot of women is that instead of saying, you know, I'm gonna get the rights that women didn't have before, they confused that with being like bad men. And so what happened is that, oh, he cheats, I'm gonna cheat too. Men have multiple partners, I'm gonna have multiple partners too. That doesn't work well.
No.
Because it's like trying to improve a home by destroying what the last person destroyed.
Yep.
It's not gonna fix the home. It's gonna break the home even further, and that's what's been happening to the family unit. That's why we have so many more single people than we did ever in the history of mankind right now. People in their 30s are single at an alarming rate. People are not reproducing. We do not have overpopulation. In the West, we have underpopulation. In Japan, the number of adult diapers outnumbers the number of child diapers that are being bought at the stores. Why? Because the generation that we have is largely older. There's no new people to substitute the ones that are dying. Now, if every couple has one child, look at the ratio. Those two people are going to die, and only one is going to be left replacing them. So there's that. And we have the conditions in the society to support that and only that. Because living in California is tough. Both parents have to work. It is very difficult. Not impossible, but very difficult. And that's why people are exiling the state like no one's business. And it makes sense. It looks very appealing.
Yeah.
And so we have the conditions for that kind of behavior. Society has been making it a point to do that, which is basically doing everything in their power to stop existing. And that's alarming. People should be paying attention to that. And I've heard Elon Musk talk about it, that we have an underpopulation problem. I think he's kind of smart, right?
A little bit.
So he may know something, a thing or two about that. Maybe his reproduction habits are not the healthiest either, but there is something about that underpopulation business that we're not paying attention to. And the thing is, it's riding on the heels of virtue, you know, where people are claiming that, you know, they're doing the best thing for the planet by not reproducing, by having only one child. And look at my house, that it's so green, you know, it's so everything's organic and this and that. And I'm not talking negatively about organic. I'm all about that. But at the same time, at what cost? You know, at what cost are we going to support the earth? At the cost of forgetting the first commandment, right? Fill the earth and subdue it. That doesn't mean that you act like a jerk to the environment. It means that you put it under your control. Because we're humanity. We're meant to control the world. That was our command. And we are not doing that at all.
Yeah, those old school values that I feel like we were brought up with pretty old school values.
Yep.
You know, I don't know how to transition into this, but I'm just gonna go and say it.
Do it. Do it.
I was talking to like fidelity and infidelity more than anything with one of my coworkers, and we were talking about how people just forgot how to love. Yeah, we have conversations like that.
Yeah.
And I was saying that, I mean, if you're not ready for marriage, you're going to be cheating on your wife, or you're not going to have that self-respect. Therefore, your wife is not going to respect you. And, you know, because when you ask your wife when you ask when you ask your wife to marry you, you're asking her to be your family. Yet people still cheat on their wife. They give up on their family. And you're not only giving... this thing freaking went up my nose. And you're not only giving up on your wife, you're giving up on the kids and on the extended family. That's what's so crazy to me. People don't understand what the sacrament of marriage is. It's something sacred. It's something that you promised to give your life, not your emotions, not just your emotions, but your whole heart, your whole being, to that one person and God. Something sacred, a sacrament, is an oath that you take with God and your spouse. And people don't understand that anymore.
It's going to take a weird twist right now. I think, you know, I'm always against grown people with no kids going to Disneyland.
Well, me too.
This is kind of weird. Yeah, it is.
It's really weird.
It is weird, but they've swallowed the happily ever after pill. And so now the goal of marriage is not to start a family. The goal of matrimony is not the making of a mother. The goal of matrimony is now make me happy.
Yo.
And that's where we go wrong, you know, like, where's my happily ever after? Like, that is what people hear. You know, a woman, a man, like, they hear, like, oh, we're going to be happy for the rest of our lives. Like, no, you're not going to be happy for the rest of your life. You're entering a battleground when you're going into marriage. And I'm not doing this just to be, like, a guy and talk about battle. It's like, it is what it is. We are at war with principalities, with powers, like, all that stuff, you know? Like, that is what we're entering into. Marriage is the most threatening thing to douchebaggery. Marriage is the most threatening thing to sin. That's where saints are made. That's priests come out of good families. Good fathers, good mothers come out of good families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking at the way my kids are coming out. They're freaking decent human beings. And it's not because I'm so holy. It's because we're trying. They mm-hmm. see us trying. They see us struggling. And I tell my kids, you know, I'm upfront about it. I'm not pretending that I'm the perfect human being. I tell my kids, like, look at the good stuff and look at the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Repeat the good stuff. Do not repeat the bad stuff. Like, your mother and I, we didn't have the best. We didn't have the worst, but we didn't have the best upbringing. We didn't have the best examples. Yet here we are trying our best every day. So take the good and apply it. Take the bad. Throw it away. Because think about the way it makes you feel. All right? Now don't make your kids feel that. And that's one of the biggest lessons that I feel I'm handing on to my kids. I mean, the biggest thing is their faith. You know, we pray before every meal. We go to church every Sunday. Mom canters. Dad does a Catholic podcast. You know, like, I taught religion for 12 years. You know, it's real to us. And whatever the case may be, you know, whatever they find out about the Tooth Fairy or any of the other supernatural beings that they realize are different than what they thought, they know that this one thing that they can't see, the faith, you know, like, you can't see it. You can feel the effects, but you can't see it, you know? That is real. God is real. He's very real in our lives, and we've seen the evidence for it personally. You know, so we have that, you know, and we know that happiness is not always going to be a thing. I'm not going to wake up and talk to the birds and have them, like, do my chores for me. That's not going to happen. And people go into marriage thinking that that's going to be reality. No, it's always going to be sunshine and rainbows, and it's not. Rocky told us the world is a mean, ugly place, and it's going to beat you down and keep you there permanently if you let it. If you let it, you have to give it permission. No, you have to give someone permission to disrespect you in such a way. I saw a video clip. I've been addicted to the shorts on YouTube. And they customize them to whatever you're watching, you're listening to, you know? And there was this one clip from, like, the 70s. I'm not going to re-present it, but it was a woman talking about how her man would be mean to her at home. But you go out to work and you're smiling all day for your boss. And she was like, be fake to me. Lie to me. Like, why do you act that way with me? No, don't I deserve to be lied to? And I was like, oh, dang.
I said, wow.
Yeah, because we end up not being as nice, as kind to the people that we love the most. We give ourselves permission to be, what, real? Why? Why do we give ourselves permission to treat the people we love like crap? It's not right. There was this one dude that I've been on TikTok too, and there's this one couple, like this one American girl married an Italian man, and she does things to kind of like just mess with them, like breaking spaghetti in half and throwing it in a pot, and the dude loses his mind. He's like, no, like, you know, if you're an Italian, you know that cutting the pasta in half, like, it's a sin. You don't do that. And his reaction is the best. He doesn't, like, start cursing up a storm or anything. He says, mi amore. Like, it's like, my love. When he's outraged at something, and I'm like, I want that. Like, I want to be like that. Because I'm not like that.
I'm not like that.
No, not at all. Like, I see the cutting board with gunk on it still in the strainer. I lose it internally, and I show it externally. Nowhere near as much as it bothers me. Because there's little things, little dumb things, too. Right? Like the cutting board having gunk on it, not being scrubbed properly. I take it out, I scrub it, and I put it back, and I throw my little fit. You know, instead of saying nothing, I'm doing it. Or instead of saying, hey, you don't do this. The knives being pointed upward. that gets on my last nerve. Because we were trained. Yeah. We were properly trained on how to wash dishes. You never point the knives up. Why? Because someone can grab them, cut themselves. Another thing, it has a little brim at the bottom, and the water can just stay there, and it can make bacteria, right? Mm-hmm. So flip them over. That's it, right? Little dumb things like that. And things that have improved in the household, but I kind of lose it. And because of something dumb like that, you know, we say uncharitable things that don't need to be said. Why? Because she's not giving me my happily ever after.
Yeah.
She's not respecting me. And you know what? Respect is a big thing. I don't want to discount that. You know, but we have to give the other person permission to disrespect us. You know, so I'm not, this is going to be a horrible example, but hopefully everyone knows where it's coming from. Right? When I walk my dogs, sometimes I stop in my tracks because they're going ahead of me. And a dog is not supposed to go ahead of you. Like when you walk your dog, if the dog is walking you, you're not doing it right. No, the dog has to walk next to you or even slightly behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I have to do sometimes is just stop. And sometimes within one block, I have to stop many times. If you repeat that behavior, the dog will walk next to you eventually. But it's all about consistency. It's not about having the perfect walk every time. It's about being consistent. Same thing in marriage, same thing with everything else. It's about being consistent. It's about not giving up. Yeah, you're not going to be happy all the time. But as a whole, marriage is a blessing. And if we don't put in the work beforehand, we're not going to make it. Heck, people that put in the work sometimes, the other person is not willing to do that, and it doesn't work. We can get into divorce and all that stuff later, but at the very least, like, how many people are doing the legwork to make it work from the very beginning? Everyone wants that ideal husband, that ideal wife, but they're not making themselves the person that person would want.
Mm. Hey, that Italian dude, that made a really big impact on me.
Because
I'm very similar to you.
It's like we're brothers or something.
Right? because when something goes, you know, slightly wrong, or like, for example, like the knives, you know, pointing upward.
Yeah.
So it's like, dude, like, think about everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, who's going to grab a knife by the blade? Right? That's dumb,
me?
Right? No, because sometimes we're distracted.
Yeah. When I put them away.
So the right thing to do is to
minimize the risk.
Yeah, minimize the risk. Because you got to be thinking about everybody else, not just you. And that's what gets me, I guess you can say, upset.
Yeah.
And so usually, let's just say that happened at home, right? Because I'm the one that does the dishes. So I'll do the dishes, and let's say that happened. I just I don't just go off on the wife. I just kind of make a face,
and I go. And it's with you for a while, not just for a little bit.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. I learned to let it go now, but I just kind of. And then, oh, what's wrong? I'm fixing something that I didn't like. But then I'm not communicating it properly because it's like, oh, because then she looks at it like, oh, really? You're going to let that bother you?
Yeah.
And I mean, she's not wrong, right? Like, that's dumb that it lets me, you know, that I let it bother me. And it is. But, you know, going back to the Italian guy, it's like, mi amore, like hey, yeah. come on, babe, look, this, right?
Well, use the bacteria thing. The bacteria thing will get them. If you're a safety, if you do not, like, if. Because the response can be like, hey, stop being an idiot. Look before you touch.
Yeah.
True. But there's bacteria. You don't want your family to eat that, do you?
Yeah.
So there is that approach, you know? That's a hack, guys. Take it.
Yeah. Jocko Willink talks about the direct approach and how that's not always the right thing. The direct approach is like, hey, dude, don't do this because this is dumb. Like, somebody can cut their hand on the knife. But why not, you know, you don't know what they're thinking about. You don't know if they're distracted. You don't know if whatever, right? So because you love them, like, hey, my love, or hey, babe.
Mi amore.
Right? Like, that whole mi amore thing, like, that's a game changer right there. Because that's, absolutely. there's no further explanation. It's just like, yeah, bro, like. You may hate that, but because you hate it and because you love your spouse so damn much, you need to respond with kindness to that. Like, hey, babe, look. And then throw in your two cents instead of like, oh, what the hell, dude? We can't forget how to love the ones that we love.
Yeah.
Because if we're kind enough to strangers, someone that means nothing to us, why do we feel like we have the freedom to just be a jerk to the ones that we truly care about? That's crazy. That's mi amor.
Mi amore. That's such a mi simple amore. Thing. But why am I struggling so much?
Yep.
Right? Like, it doesn't make sense. And it's because we want our happily ever after.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a...
It makes it seem like you don't have any struggles after, you know, you marry and like... Yay!
Yeah, I have a really good wife that's very patient with me because I work a lot of doubles, man. And sometimes I do use up all my patience at work.
Yeah.
And the way that things are right now, it's just, geez, man. Geez. But she understands that. And she has brought it up before, too. Where she's told me, like, hey, I know you use up sometimes all your patience at work, but, you know, and it's not necessarily that you say things, but it's just the way that, you know, that look on your face when something goes wrong. Because I'm not one to yell. I'm not one to just unload on the family. But my face has as much impact because I'm displaying everything, the disgust in my face.
Yeah. The silence.
Yeah. And she interprets it like, I am disgusted by the family. And I don't blame her for that because that's exactly what it looks like. So we definitely need to get a hold of ourselves and do the mi amore thing. That's awesome.
It is. I'm telling you, game changing.
Absolutely.
And it takes so long, so long to freaking master. Because I saw this like months ago, and then I forget about it. Mm-hmm. And then I have to remind myself, and then I have to talk about it with someone, because otherwise it's like, see, like I've said before in the podcast, go back, listen to all 200 whatever episodes we got. Like, eventually you'll find me saying, like, we need to be about it like a freaking Herbalife coach, you know? Like, we got to be about it. We got to talk about it. We got to be about it, right? Not necessarily the same with everyone, because like when I was in this whole diabetes journey and whatnot, like I was about it so intensely, like my wife got sick of it. She's like, yeah, not everything's about that. Mm-hmm. Like, but it is. You know, I just need to be about it to myself more than outwardly.
Yeah, I have a little example where I think I did pretty good because I'm not too fond of the dogs. We have two.
I freaking love my dogs. How dare you, Ramon?
That's because I've had the perfect dog. R.I.P. Willie. Aww. Willie was the perfect pit bull, man.
Willie was a senior citizen.
Yeah.
These
yeah,
but guys I got are I got wild and young for 2-3 years maybe.
Yeah, Willie was just the perfect dog.
Why did you get Australian Shepherds?
Why did I say yes to her anyway?
You can't
so it's
say
my
no.
fault. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I have trouble with, saying no to her. With certain things, mm-hmm. obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, these dogs are crazy, and they're litter mates. They're what's that called? A blue heeler and Australian Shepherd. The dad is an Australian Shepherd. The mom is a blue heeler. Like, these dudes are cattle dog. They have energy for days and days and days. And they would always get into scuffles here and there, and then it would end. I think it was like 2 weeks ago. I went to my jiu-jitsu class, and... Oh, yeah. I left my... Yeah, dude, it's awesome. I love it. And I always leave my phone because I don't need my phone there. So I left it in the car. I left my wallet in the car. And I just take my keys, my water. I was doing my thing. And then when I came out of class, I checked the phone. And I had two voicemails and a few missed calls and then a text. And the text said, hey... the dogs were fighting really, really hard, and I get home and there's like blood.
Oh.
Like trails of blood. I don't want to say puddles, but yeah, like tiny little puddles of blood. It was a nasty little bloodbath outside. I was like, oh, damn. So my brother-in-law was already there, and I was like, dang, what the hell happened? Yeah. I don't want to ask, oh, what happened? He's like, nah, dude, like they were talking, and I was like, okay, I'm going to wait. I'm eventually going to find out. So she told me, yeah, like I was trying to get a hold of you. And the dogs, the slightly smaller one, his name's Batman. I was like, yeah, Batman wouldn't stop fighting Oreo. And I just don't know what's going to happen. So apparently one of the neighbors had to, you know, come in and help out. And they took Oreo upstairs and put him in his crate. And Batman was just there. She tried to break it up. I'm not going to make this a super long story. So long story short, she realized that these dogs cannot be together. And we're going to have to give up the one that didn't stop fighting, which is Batman.
Oh, no.
So we still have him there. And she's sad because she loves those animals.
Yeah.
They're cute little guys, and I'm not just talking about the way they look.
No, they're charming.
Yeah,
they are charming dogs.
Yeah,
I've met them.
They're so loving. And they're little jerks too, but
yeah, they're littermates.
Yeah,
yeah. I've heard Cesar Millan talk about that.
Yeah, so when I showed up, I see Batman all sad, and like he's got nasty scratches on his face, and he's just chewed up everywhere. And then I go upstairs, and then I see the trail of blood, and there's like tiny little pools of blood, and then Oreos are like. Crap, I'm in trouble.
Yeah,
and
daddy's home. They know.
Daddy's home, and I see them both like dang, like we messed up. Mm-hmm. And then my wife is like crying a little bit, and just like, yeah, we're gonna have to give up Batman and this and that, and we're gonna have to keep them separated. And I don't want to give them up to the pound because they're just gonna put him down. Because Australian Shepherds and Blue Heelers are the most surrendered breed because they're so energetic and they're very mm-hmm. stubborn. And I, like I said, I'm not too fond of them. I like them, but I'm kind of not fond of them at the same time.
Yeah.
But I realized, hey, I need to step up and I need to be the one to find a different solution to this. Mm-hmm. So we're keeping them separate for now. We do take them out on walks together, but not close to each other. And we're still learning how to deal with this. The point I'm trying to make here is that this is my chance to get rid of one of the dogs. But because it's not about me, and it's not entirely all about my wife here, but it's about doing the right thing here.
Yeah.
The dogs are good for the house.
Yeah.
They're very good.
But you have a one-year-old.
Correct. And that was the issue that both Brianna and I were looking at. Is like, what if they turn on either one of the kids, but especially the baby one, because they can kill her. So we're doing something about it, and we definitely don't let Camila, our little baby, we don't let her get near the dogs, especially the one that wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
And we're still figuring it out. And if we see that Batman or either one is going to be a problem, then yeah, we're going to have to surrender him, but to a good family. So it's not all about me. It's all about, and we got training for Oreo too, because Oreo was wild.
I remember you saying that. That's why I was kind of surprised that Batman was the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So
they will do that. They will surprise you like that.
And it's crazy because once Oreo was trained, like, he knew his place. So Batman was like, hey, and that's a problem. They're both very alpha.
Mm.
So Batman tried to take over the alpha role.
Mm-hmm.
And because Papa wasn't home.
Yeah.
Like, hey.
Yeah, like, that's my thing with Rocky.
Yeah, they want to take over the alpha energy. And that's just not going to happen.
No.
Yeah, so you were saying Rocky?
Yeah, Rocky does the same thing. Like, I'm not there, and, like, he's not as respectful to everyone else. Like, I notice he respects Tommy a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, Tommy feeds them. Tommy lets them out to go do their business. Like, Tommy is consistently there. And his energy is so the same. It's the same. Like, no matter what, like, he is the same. And dogs understand that. Dogs respect that consistency. You know, I keep talking about that. And I know it seems like we're going away from the topic. But, like, if you apply that to your life, like, that consistency on a daily basis, that assessing the situation on a daily basis, even before you meet the person that you're going to end up with, that is an essential to your life. How are you going to bring any value to the person that's going to give you the most value if you don't become the person that they want? You know, like, all this stuff is utterly important. You know, since we're on the topic of dogs, I'm going to keep going with my dogs. I have a Chihuahua poodle mix that looks like a Maltipoo, so he looks like a $5,000 dog, but he's not. And a German Shepherd Pitbull mix, Amstaff. So if you're renting a property and it has Amstaff Shepherd mix, they'll let you rent it. You know, because if it says Pitbull, it's an absolute no, even though they're much less dangerous than a German Shepherd. But that's another story for another day. The nanny dog, dude. Like,
yeah.
I love pit bulls. They're so adorable.
And misunderstood.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's another TikTok dog, Otto. He's so friendly. He shakes his butt and, like, greets everyone. Anyway, that's another story for another day. But, like, my dogs, like, there's not that much competition between them because the little one knows that the big one could eat him. You know? Mm-hmm. He's lucky that Rocky is very gentle. He's a kind dog. Like, his energy is not violent at all. He's intimidating if you don't know him.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't know him, like, if you hear his bark, it's so cool. And at the end of the day, he's a German Shepherd, so his bite will do damage. Like, that dog could kill me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if I didn't feed him, if I didn't know him, if I owed him nothing, like, I don't owe him anything, you know? But, like, if he didn't have that loyalty to me, because if I died, like, my wife has said this, like, if Adrian died, like, he would die. Like, he would die. And, you know, those YouTube shorts, I've been just scrolling through them like no one's business, and Joe Rogan has said a bunch of things about dogs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's had cats, too, but he's like, you know, you hear these stories where one person lives with a dog and Another one lives with a cat. Like, they die. The cat will start eating the person. The dog will starve next to its human.
Mm-hmm.
That's Rocky right there. I don't know if the mic will pick it up.
Yeah, he's saying, that's right. That's right. That's right. I love you.
Yeah, no, like, the loyalty is ridiculous, you know? So there is that, you know? The difference between you and me is, like, I freaking love my dogs to death, you know? Like, yeah. Shut up!
And you know what? Maybe this is what I needed to start, actually, to change my I guess my heart, you know, with the dogs. I wasn't ready for all this energy times two, literally.
And you're working doubles, like, all the time.
Yeah.
So your time is not there. But, yeah, no, man, I lost my train of thought.
They need that energy, just like your family needs that energy, just like you need that energy channeled in the right direction, because otherwise you're going to lose it.
You're going to lose it, yeah. And one of those things, you know, you need the wisdom to see, like, oh, hey, litter mates, you probably shouldn't have them together. That's something that I knew, and I thought I could use your guys' example as an example. Like, nah, sometimes they get along. Like, well,
no,
for long enough until it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, like, having the wisdom to know what you're getting into, you know, you don't get into a relationship with someone that's not going to share your faith. Why? Because it's a struggle. You know, certain things just don't mix. They don't mix. Dude, like, it's hard. Like, it's really hard. Why make your situation even harder? But I love them. Yeah, you know what? Love them enough to give them the best chance possible.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't start having babies until you get married. And this is not an attack on anyone. It's just... if you want to give your marriage the best chance possible, do that. Can you be a badass and, like, survive whatever circumstance? Yeah, you can. You need God, but you can. You know, that doesn't mean that I'm going to recommend it to my own kids. To my own kids, I'm going to say, wait till marriage. It is the best thing. Yep. You know, do the right thing at the right time, and the rest will not be as hard. Sometimes, like, people will be like, oh, your kids are so well-behaved. Yeah, for a reason.
Yep.
You know, I look at kids misbehaving at the store and whatnot, and I'm like, dude, like, just say, do this, do that with your kids. I don't never tell the person that because, like, screw you. Who are you to tell me how to raise my own child? But if people are to ask me, like, why are your kids so well-behaved? Why does it look like they love each other? That's because they do. It's because from the get-go, you know, like, they knew what was up. And from the get-go, I was telling them no when no needed to be said. Because they're cute, and you can give them sugar all day, but... you're going to get a kid that's hyped up on sugar and having mood swings all the time because you gave in. You did the easy thing. You gave him a device and you let him be in the room for hours on end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier because, heck, being a parent is hard.
Yeah.
But like Ramon says all the time, how are you going to get better if you have nothing to push up against? Something like that.
Yeah, you're supposed to get stronger if you have nothing to push against.
Yeah. You know, it's like, and that's the thing. And we're going to talk about the manosphere eventually. But there's this one dude that I like and dislike at the same time. You know, like, take the good, leave the bad. Andrew Tate. And he was asked in one of those short videos that I saw, what's the quickest way? What's the easiest way to get a six-pack? Like, why do you want a quick six-pack? Mm-hmm. Like, why? Like, you're not going to value it.
Mm-hmm.
No, there is no shortcut.
Yeah.
No, there is no shortcut, and you don't want the shortcut if there is one. Like, you can get plastic implants to make it look like you have a six pack, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That is the quick and short way, but does it mean anything? Nope. It means nothing. You did nothing for it. You're not going to value it. It's like the people that get the surgery, you know, the gastric bypass or whatever. Most of them go back to being fat. Why? Because the stomach will stretch after it's stapled. It will continue stretching. Your body is very malleable, which is good news. It's good news because, yeah, maybe you were raised a certain way. Maybe you live in a society that doesn't value the values of Christianity. Maybe feminism, and we couldn't say that word if we were on YouTube. We'd get taken down, right? But we're in a podcast. We don't care. No refunds. You know, feminism has done a number on females, you know, and it's promoting this culture where the alpha male is no longer valued, where the men that built society are not valued. You know, masculinity is now toxic, even though it built society. You know, and so we have that working against us, because if you want a really good relationship, if you want a really good family, you need to be that quote unquote toxic man. You need to be in charge. You need to be the leader of your household. You need to have the final say. You know, and a good woman will not argue that with you. A good woman will lift you up. And I'm sorry to say, but those poor women are being fed a bunch of lies and they're buying it. they're buying it. Why? Because a lot of these women don't have a good man leading their household. You know, I was watching another clip, you know, between Bill Burr, I think, and Joe Rogan. And he was saying, like, you know, those men, happy wife, happy life. Like, man, I wish I could be like one of them. Why? Like, because they have it easy. It's smooth sailing. You know, but what kind of man are you going to be if you have that smooth sailing kind of life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, going back to the quick six pack, it's like, no, you're not going to value. If you can be pushed around like that, you're not going to be happy.
Yep.
You'll have smooth sailing, but in the back of your head, you're not respected. Your kids don't respect you. You're the sitcom dad. You're Homer Simpson.
Yep.
You're stupid. Your kids and your wife make fun of you. March doesn't really do that much, you know?
No.
But the kids don't respect him. He's an idiot in the eyes of his daughter, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my kids admire me. Like, they know my struggles. Heck, you know, my wife. Like, yesterday, they went to the in-laws' house, and I stayed behind because I wanted to sleep. And I'm getting old, dude. I go to sleep early, and I rise, like, at 4 in the morning, like, 4:45. I'm still not getting up. I'm fighting it because I want to sleep more. But whatever, that's another story. I need to get my butt up. But they were having a conversation, and it was about how hard I had it. You know, I didn't really have it that hard in my view, but, you know, we've been through crap. And so, and my oldest was like, Sophia was like, man, and he didn't let it affect him. So I know my kids admire me. Heck, when I got sick with COVID and we're walking the dog, something broke my heart when Tommy said it. He's like, if daddy goes, I don't want to stay. I was like, dang. He doesn't say much. But when he does, it's like, whoa. Like, he has those little deep thoughts that he lets us into his heart every once in a while. And of course I corrected that. I'm like, no. If I leave, you're the man of the house. You have a big responsibility to your mm-hmm. family yep. if I'm not here.
That's what I was going
yeah.
to chime in with.
Oh, yeah, no, I did not leave yeah. it at that. Like, I take every little opportunity I can to drop some bomb of knowledge that they're going to remember for the rest of their lives. You know, and so that's the kind of stuff that we're supposed to do as dad, as the leader of the household. And thank God I have a wife that wants that. Even when she doesn't act that way, like, she wants that from me. So be the kind of man that's going to initiate. Be the kind of man that's going to lead your family in prayer. Be the one that says, hold on, first we pray. Like, hold on, before making plans for the weekend, when are we going to Mass?
Be the man that your family needs. And every family needs a leader, somebody that's worth following, somebody that's going to take him to heaven. It's hard work, but it's necessary. I know when you said that, what Sophia said about your upbringing, and even then, like, he still didn't let him affect him, or whatever she said.
Mm-hmm.
But you did let it affect you, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Because you don't want your children to go through the things that you went through.
Mm-hmm.
And you're very humble, but you went through hell. You're the one that went through hell. Our living circumstances were the same, but you went through more psychological stuff, and not because you're weak, but because people were making you go through hell. But that's what made you stronger. So thank you for being there for me. Thank you for being here for your family and for our extended family in the podcast. All two listeners, or three, whatever your name is, third one.
Do you say Anthony?
Let's just call him Anthony.
Yeah.
Brother Anthony. So pray for us.
And we'll pray for you.
Ferum.
Ferum.
Aquitur.
Hey, fool, I love you, fool.
Hey, fool, I love you too, fool.
Don't cry, fool. If you cry.
Hey, fool.
Look out for her, friend. Daniel. Your name is Daniel. Thank you. Thank you, Daniel.